You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Well, another debate last night and another... another unpacking, definitely. And then the thought struck me that I posted this last night on Facebook that I think this was the best vice presidential debate I have personally ever seen. Generally speaking, there is such an imbalance. You often find seasoned individuals with those who are very freshmen at best and in their abilities, and both of these guys, solid debaters, both of these guys, experienced politicians, and both of them way, way, way better than their presidential counterparts, if you will, those running for president. I would be much more willing to vote for these guys than the ones running for president. I could make a decision, likely, on the vice president. Not that I will. I've already made up my mind, and I'm not voting for either of these candidates. But nonetheless, unpacking the debates, talking about some of the particular issues. But more importantly, I think, looking at the Catholicism of these two individuals, because it was on display, especially with certain things that they talked about. We'll get into all of that and more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith. 50 minutes every afternoon. Taking a look at the vice presidential debate last night, which, of course, never a game changer generally for an election, unless you go back to whatever the heck year it was, early 90s, where we had Ross Perot as a third party candidate and Admiral Stockdale, who came out, and we've seen that replay. They've been talking a lot about, they talked a lot about news outlets leading up to last night's debate, that this was one of those moments where undoubtedly the vice presidential debate had at least some degree of decision factoring, I believe, for Ross Perot, because they saw, even though he was a decorated admiral, naval officer, he still had, in his attempt at humor, which was funny. I mean, it really was funny, but it just veered so far off the track that I think it damaged credibility for Perot as far as having that, that particular brand of humor. It just didn't play. It didn't work. And therefore I think created more problems than Perot expected, certainly than Stockdale expected, but that was a long time ago. In recent debates, let's go back to the past two. I think you look at what Paul Ryan up against seasoned. Yeah, and I'm no fan of Joe Biden. He's the shtick that he plays, the smiley, goofy, everything is just kind of whatever, is annoying, is very annoying to me. But still, he's a seasoned pro. He's a career politician. He knows what he's doing. Put him in a debate, and he's going to look like a winner. It's hard to beat him because he's going to at least make the other... He's going to put the other individual on the ropes. He did it with Palin. He did it with Ryan. And both of these debates, he came out shining and being the seasoned pro to at least kind of put anyone's mind at ease if they were concerned about who this running mate, what the running mate dynamic was going to look like in the election. Unquestionably solid and unquestionably outweighed the opponents in both of these past two vice presidential debates, because he was there on stage with Sarah Palin and they're squaring off against Paul Ryan. So, yeah, in both of these cases, I was rooting for McCain in 2008. I was rooting for Romney in 2012. And to watch these debates unfold, especially the vice presidential debate, it was painful because I'm thinking these guys are not doing them any favors. Sarah Palin did McCain zero favors, and I think Paul Ryan actually did more disservice than Sarah Palin, quite frankly, in the 2012 debate. Now, contrast that to what we saw last night, and I think you've got a couple of individuals here who, if you already knew who you were voting for and you already had a dog in the fight, then all last night did for you was say, yes, these guys can handle it. I would have to believe, and I don't know this, I haven't heard any of the commentary about it, I would have to believe that Pence's performance, if you didn't know who Pence was, if you had no idea, and the news was playing before the debate, I saw this, you know, they're showing photos of Kane and Pence, and people are like, I don't know, who is that? I don't know. I mean, so apparently there are people who don't know who Mike Pence is. Hoosiers know, of course. But if you didn't know and you saw last night, I think you would have to come away from that with an impression. And I would hope a very favorable impression, because I think he did an amazing job holding his own. And, yeah, I've made fun of, I call it tropologetics. Tropologetics are the individuals who feel like they have to step in and explain everything that Trump says, like apologetics, tropologetics. You're coming in and you're saying, well, this is what he really meant, and this is how we unpack this. Well, the most brilliant Trumpologist that I have seen yet was Mike Pence last night. And he did seem to make things make sense. Now, I think there were times where he said, oh, he didn't say that. He's kind of downplaying the extremity of some of the points that Trump has seemed to intimate and articulate. He tried to deflect that as much as possible, some of the more controversial things. But pro, seasoned pro. I mean, here's a guy who has spent time in the Senate, spent time as a governor. You got the same exact dynamic with Kane, right? You've got time in the Senate, time in the governorship. These guys were equally yoked, equally matched, and both of them pros. Not, and again, as an independent, I can sit back and I can look at this and I go, yeah, I see this. I don't have to pick sides. I don't have to say, oh, well, this guy won or that guy won. No, I think they both represented themselves very well, represented their candidates very well, represented their parties well. I don't see how you can come away from this. I didn't see a winner. I think, well, it's interesting, the Republicans were already had their ammunition loaded and misfired it ahead of the debate, basically saying that Pence had won the debate. But it's kind of like what I said in the first presidential debate. Whoever you were rooting for won. I promise you that. Your guy won. Your guy won that debate last night, hands down, if you were already rooting for them. But I think if you were on the fence or you're watching this to see if it factored in, I think it would, either of them, I think they would only reiterate whatever you were already leaning toward. I think you would have to. Now, the thing that I value, like I say, is that there was a tempered response coming from Pence. And both of them were respectful. I've heard, oh, Pence got interrupted and Kane. Neither of them got hysterical. Neither of them got really histrionic even, or any kind of shenanigans or antics. There was none of that. I think they stuck to the points. They were pretty darn respectful for the most part. They weren't really insulting. They were jabbing as debaters do. But from a justice standpoint of debate skill and decorum, my goodness, it was a great debate. It was amazing because they did stick to issues. Largely, they were very respectful. Like I say, they gave each other time, even though they did step on each other from time to time. They allowed a response and a counter response. And I don't know. Like I say, I'm watching this thing going, why aren't these guys running for president? And then, of course, jokingly posted, Pence, Kane, 2016, because I think, honestly, if these two were running against Trump and Clinton, right? I mean, they would win a debate. They would definitely win a debate because they are seasoned pros. They've been at this. They've held offices. They've been down this road. They know what they're doing. And they can articulate themselves well, and they articulate the issues well. It's not just talking points. It's not just this brand of rhetoric that has no substance. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff talked about, presented, addressed, explored. I mean, my goodness, it was an amazing debate. And again, I don't care who you're rooting for. Both of these guys had moments of real shine and undoubtedly amazing polish from both of them. And they even Pence jabbed Kane a couple of times. Well, how long did it take you to work on that one? You know, whatever. But I think they both came across as very authentic, very approachable. And I would think with the questions, and this is one of the things that the moderator mentioned in the questioning, was this trust factor on both of the candidates being so low. I would hope that after watching this, it would have to instill some trust. You'd have to look at these guys and say, well, if they're picking these kind of guys, maybe there's something to it on either side, right? On either side. And we've heard that. I've heard that from my Trumpologist friends who say, well, Trump's going to surround him with really good people. And certainly see that in Pence. I think you can see that. So I was impressed, obviously. I thought they both had a tremendous performance. But there were some points that came up that I thought got real interesting, especially when faith came into the equation, which this is the first time we've heard this. Well, I mean, well, granted, we've only had one debate on the presidential side, but there were things there were areas explored in this conversation that we have not heard yet, and I doubt we will. I doubt we will from a presidential debate. But they went there. They went there big time last night, and it seemed as though it was Kane who came out first talking about this moral challenge that he faced as a governor of a state that was pro-death penalty, because he said, as a Catholic, I really struggled with that because I, as a Catholic, am completely against the death penalty. So that's where he led out. He started there and then talked about how he had to realize that his position as a governor meant that he had to do certain things that maybe he didn't agree with to uphold the law of the state and to respect his constituency. Then it got even more interesting as they began to explore this, and we'll talk more about it on the other side of the break. I'm Leo Brown, happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you. You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Happy to be with you, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Been looking at this vice presidential debate last night, which best yet, in my opinion, of those of the modern era that I have seen, which generally I pay attention to this kind of stuff, certainly for the past several, I pay attention to the vice presidential debates, and this one was amazing. I think really, really well matched, as I said. Seasoned professionals, true respect for each other, respect as politicians, as people, and as we were getting into the break, people of faith. And this came out in this debate, and we haven't heard this on the presidential side, nor do I expect we will. We'll see where this goes. But it came out last night, and it was very interesting what we heard. As I was mentioning, Tim Kaine talking about how, as his time as governor of Virginia, they had a death penalty that he struggled with as a Catholic, but realized that he had to uphold the law as it was in the state, even though he had opposition to this from a standpoint of his faith. Now, it's interesting, very interesting that he led with that, because death penalty policy is generally a pretty right-leaning, and there are few, very few Republicans who have real problem with the death penalty. And I've heard this argument a zillion times. Well, Catholic teaching really is about innocent life, Leo. It's not about convicted life, right? Convicts, murderers, rapists, these guys, they need to die. Got to pay for their crime. So Kaine leading with this and then getting into this discussion on the right of women to choose, which led Pence into this interesting discussion about his faith and about accepting Christ and about the importance of maintaining the dignity. He used the word dignity, which I thought was great, of the unborn, and then he went on to add in numbers of other individuals, and I, at this point, posted out, well, Pence sounds Catholic, which he was raised Catholic, so this is part of what his formation, this is part of his being, which it's part of Kaine's being as well. Now, there was obvious contrast at this moment. Not that there wasn't contrast in a number of issues, policy platform issues that were discussed, but here's a stark contrast. Because this is the first time we've heard the pro-life platform addressed really publicly in any sort of substantial fashion, and we heard it primarily from Pence, affirming certainly what pro-life Catholics want to say when it comes to their support of Trump, and they want to say this is why. And I even heard it when Pence was chosen as VP. Well, this solidifies it for me. He's surrounding himself with the right people. This is indicative of what he would do with Supreme Court justices, you name it, so on and so forth. And again, if it wasn't for Trump in the equation, I would be swayed. I would be swayed. And not that it was just last night, because Pence has had this conviction. I believe he's sincere. And you see something in... I think we all kind of have a degree... Well, I don't want to say all, because some people, the wool is pulled, right? Immediately over your eyes, you got no clue. But most of us have a pretty strong BS indicator, a BS detector, right? We hear something, we're like, That just seems not sincere. That just seems like lip service. You did not hear lip service. You didn't hear lip service. I don't think you heard lip service really from either of these. I think Kaine really does struggle with where he's coming from, but he's so convinced that his convictions have to take a backseat to his politics. And he expressed that both in issues on the death penalty and issues on the unborn with abortion, with this insistence that women need to have the right to choose. Now, I will give him this. This is why I'm mentioning this in this fashion. He at least seems to have a degree of consistency, because he didn't say, and you know, because I abhor the death penalty, I don't really think it should be a part of... No, he said it's the law of the state. I had to uphold that. Which, as he said, Roe v. Wade has been the law of the land. There are voters now, certainly, and have been, who've never known anything but that. I mean, my goodness, right? I'm almost 50, and I certainly never had a chance to vote with anything but that law of the land. So, very interesting perspective I see, as I see it, coming from Kane, as he intimated what I saw was a sincere struggle with this position, and then contrast that with, and then Kane, who has talked openly about his sincerity of faith, and then you look at Pence, again, raised Catholic, certainly with early formation, but generally speaking, and I know there are exceptions to every rule, generally speaking, we don't have evangelicals who are that outspoken on life issues, generally speaking. I think there's a vast imbalance in the pro-life movement led by Catholics, primarily. And I say this from just my experience at things like the big events. March for Life. Go to the March for Life. The cathedral there, the basilica, is packed on the eve of the march because there are that many Catholics who are part of this movement. I'm not sure that other churches are packed. Well, I've never been to other churches, but I'm assuming it's largely a Catholic thing. There are big Catholic youth rallies at 30,000-seat arenas that have standing room wait lists for kids to get into it because they're these huge Catholic events. So I have to believe there's an imbalance when it comes to the life issues, when it comes to the Catholic perspective. Then to hear Pence come out with his convictions and to present it in such a, again, very sincere fashion, but in a completely different dynamic than that of Pence. Willing to say, this is important. So important that we're going to uphold this. So, again, if you're a fence riding and you're thinking, okay, well, could this be sincere? And then, of course, well, I would say you should have been knocked off your fence last night. Then Kane coming back and saying, well, you and Donald Trump just want to punish women. Which sounded to me like 1990-whatever rhetoric of Bill Clinton. This was his argument. He would shut anybody down immediately when it came to abortion, if it was even remotely mentioned, suggested a breath of the abortion issue. It was going to be, you just want to convict women. That's what you want to do. That's why you're against abortion, because you want women to go to jail. And shut down the discussion. I saw a little bit of that coming out of Kane last night, with then Pence immediately shutting that down and saying, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Which I think sincere, again, from Pence, but we do know Trump did say that. He did say that. Because I think of his just general misunderstanding of the pro-life position, not having ever been a part of it until his recent profession of support for the pro-life movement. So not really understanding the nuances enough that he was willing to say, yes, women need to be prosecuted. We need to legalize abortion and women need to go to jail. Now, I don't know any pro-lifer. And I've known a lot of them, and I am one. Never known anybody who would ever say anything that extreme, where they think for a moment that women should go to jail. I do know there are those who say the abortionist should go to jail, but never women who have sought and or are seeking abortion. So, bizarre position, but Kane attacked that with Pence coming back and saying, look, I can't remember how he phrased it. I know he did this a couple of times in defense in his Trumpology. He came in and said, look, there's, you know, Trump's not nuanced on these issues or whatever. And he kind of says things at times that may seem extreme, but he understands the issues. He gets it now, whatever. And I think that was kind of that response in this particular issue. But it just illustrates how people of faith can differ so vastly on this issue. And I'm not going to question Tim Kaine's faith. Who am I? Who am I to do that? Yeah, he can say all day long that he's a faithful Catholic, but he wants women to have the right to choose. They're not going to change hearts with legislation, whatever. And he can be a faithful Catholic. Well, we really cannot judge that. We can judge fruit. If he came out on attack and he was being a jerk and he was being super disrespectful and saying egregious things to Pence, he didn't do that. Didn't do that. Again, not voting for either of these guys, but I think we got to be fair. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. I posted this over on my Facebook page. We've been unpacking last night's debate. And the Politico.com with the 12 most interesting moments of the vice presidential debate, walking through this. And some of the things that they mentioned here, I'd kind of forgotten about until I reread. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there were some real funny moments that I literally laughed out loud about. They highlighted here, and one of the funny things was this Mount Rushmore of evil that Tim Kaine was talking about with Trump's idolizing these dictators, Kim Jong Il and Vladimir Putin, and the Mount Rushmore of evil. It was pretty funny. I did laugh out loud on that. That's one of the 12 that's here. One of the other things is the fact that Pence says, I'm going into sending order. I don't know if they're ranked here, but number 12, Pence, Trump isn't always polished. He is defending Trump in the sense of, realize he means well. He says things that may not always sound good, but he's definitely got the goods. He's just has a difficult way of expressing things sometimes, which anyone can say that. I think we want people in positions of power, people in important leadership positions, to be able to express themselves well, but not everyone can, certainly. And then Kaine wants Pence to defend Trump. This was pressed several times with Kaine really kind of saying, why aren't you defending that? Why can't you do that? And that was evident in this debate, that it really didn't seem like Pence was coming out and making a lot of direct lines of defense toward things that Trump has said so far. Keanu with am I saying her name right? Elaine Keanu, took charge. She took charge, definitely, at times, and made sure that she kept these two in control. And I've seen a lot of praise about her ability to handle this. My question is, could she have done the same thing with with Clinton and Trump. I doubt it. I think she had a couple of very respectful guys who, yes, were passionate about what they were saying, but they were also willing to defer and see that she was the moderator. And they did that. They did that very well. So I don't know. Number nine, the Kane accuses Trump of having Mount Rushmore of evil. I mentioned that a moment ago because it was just funny. That was hilarious. Pence, mass deportation, says it's nonsense. And we've kind of heard this sort of language. We've heard round them all up, get them out of here. We've heard that stuff from Trump. So Pence is saying it's not true, but what does he mean? Pence saying that Trump is nonsense. Saying that Trump never insults people. Many times on a number of occasions talking about this insult-driven campaign. I kind of think it's on both sides. You can say what you want. You can say that one side is more insulting than the other. But so far, what I've seen, I've heard plenty of insults coming from both Trump and Clinton toward the other. So, I don't know. Kane goes scorched earth on Trump, they say. Basically, just reiterating some of the things that we've heard when it comes to things that have come out of Trump's mouth, which... You can't argue that. Number five, Kane looks to put daylight between Trump and Pence. I mentioned that a moment ago, but everything from tax returns to the many accusations that Kane, the accusations, that's probably not a fair assessment, mentioning the many times that Trump has said things that are outrageous or presented something that seems to be outrageous. Pence not defending that. Pence forced to address Trump's taxes. That came up. Again, not a lot of defense here, except he talked about the financial disclosures and the multiple pages of things that were there, and that everything is where it needs to be, and that Trump has said he will release his taxes once the audit is over. Just a lot of reiterating of what we've already heard. Pence last saw Kane's attacks, absolutely. Kind of had this sort of, oh, come on, you know. But that's kind of how Pence has been. I mean, that's kind of how he's handled himself the entire time. Since he was named VP, he's kind of laughed even at some of the Trumpisms, right? Yeah, it's Donald Trump. Kane the Interrupter, talking about foreign policy, the love of Russia, all of this. And, Kane, I tried to combine the two of them together there. Right? I know that's Pence and Kane become Payne. How about that? But, Kane came out aggressive in this, no doubt. I think he came out with a lot of energy, a lot of passion, and sometimes that just doesn't read well. Sometimes it looks desperate, and I think that there have been those who have certainly said that, seen that, and I think, again, as I said as we began the show, whoever you're supporting you think has won this, there have been the polls that are basically saying now that it was a slight victory for Pence. But ultimately, what is this going to do? We have two more debates on the presidential side. The next one, I would say, the most inconsequential, because it's sandwiched between the first and the last. There's only three of them. The first one, consequential because it's their first impression of how these two, you know, read in a debate, what they present, and how they stand on their policy issues and what comes out in these discussions. The final one is the big one. And we can forget about the vice presidential debate, I believe. We can forget about the first and second. What I said is, what I've said before is what I'll continue to say. Everything is hinged on that third debate, and we've seen it many times. We definitely saw it with Romney. I've mentioned that before. when his vice presidential debate, I think Ryan, abysmal loss. He just could not look like he had a chance against Biden, and Biden made him look like he just made him look very sophomoreish. He made him look like a kid repeatedly, like haha, and really, literally laughing at him. It was a fail. It was a terrible fail. That, and then whether that was factored in or not, I really don't think so. But Bam comes back in the third, and Obama is just keeps him on the ropes the entire time. So anything can happen, and I think that that's what we're dealing with in this election. It's so strange, right? Because generally, and if you look historically, and it's not exclusive, but there has been a pretty solid history, certainly in the last, my goodness, how long has it been? A lot of years. I'm not sure how many years it's been, where you have a two-term party, whomever that may be, followed by a change, right? That's generally what you have. You have a change, and then that change could go for two terms, or that change could go for a single term. But usually after two terms, you always have a change, because at that point, there's something that is so... there's enough individuals wanting to see something different that change can take place after an 8-year tenure with a party. And that, again, that doesn't always happen. It's not 100% the fact, but generally speaking, it does. But as I've heard it, and as I understand it, with this, the Trump X factor, all bets are off. We don't know. We don't know what this is going to ultimately end up being. And it really comes down to, is there enough distrust? Right? I really think that's what it is. Is there truly enough distrust of Trump to throw for him to, as I've heard it said, snatch defeat from the mouth of victory, right? Because that's really what you don't have to do much to win this if you're on that change platform, to where somebody's looking for something different. This is what they're going to go for. And we saw a sweeping response to the hope and change platform from Obama in 2008. Make America great again. Is it solid enough? Is it something that's going to really propel this? I believe this. I believe that Pence did more last night in that debate for Donald Trump than Donald Trump has ever done for himself when it comes to building trust. I think anyone could look at the stability and the decorum, professionalism, contrast, real contrast in Pence. There's not a huge contrast in Kane, but if anybody did Trump huge, huge favors last night, it was Pence. So we have time for it. Thank you so much for listening. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.